Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. And by the Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1, my new book, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. It's available now at BookBaby and Amazon.com. Well, let's see. Jeff Pilson. He's currently the bassist for Foreigner. He joined the band in 2004. He produced Foreigner's 2005 CD, Live in 05, as well as tracks off their No End in Sight CD in 2008. Pilson was a member of heavy metal bands Dokken, Dio, and MSG. He also formed his own progressive metal group called War and Peace in 1989, releasing three albums. 1993's Time Capsule, 2000's Light at the End of the Tunnel, and 2004's The Walls Have Eyes. He also worked with ex-Dokken bandmate guitarist George Lynch, which is a perfect association, in my opinion, in a two-member group called Lynch Pilson, which in 2003 released the critically acclaimed Wicked Underground in 2003, where Pilson also handled lead vocal duties. Although he is known primarily for his work as a bass player, Pilson also plays guitar and keyboards. Jeff Pilson is also an actor, having appeared in the movie Rockstar, one of my favorite movies, in 2001. Pilson played bassist Jorgen of the fictional band Steel Dragon. The film also featured performances by musicians such as Zakk Wylde, Jason Bonham, Miles Kennedy, Brian Vander Ark, Blas Elias, and Nick Cantonese. He also played in the film's soundtrack and served as a musical director for the film. Guitar shredding virtuoso George Lynch, who we hope to have on the show next week, is returned with former Dokken bandmate Jeff Pilson for a set of new studio recordings that turn pop music classics into powerful metal anthems. It's a fantastic album. The two have previously made Metal Magic together as a duo on the 2003 album Wicked Underground, which was recently issued on vinyl, as well as other projects such as TNN and The End Machine. But this new batch of recordings, entitled appropriately enough Heavy Hitters, stands apart not only for its outstanding roster of players and vocalists, including head Bullet Boy Mark Torian, Fishbones Angela Moore, Kansas native Will Martin, and drummer Brian Tichy. But for the jaw-dropping song selection, if you've ever wondered what an amped-up full-throttle version of Carol King's I Feel the Earth Move, or Prince's Kiss or Oasis, Champagne Supernova, or Madonna's Music, then this is the album for you. As a special treat, the band has released the first single from the album, a powerful rendition of Duran Duran's Ordinary World, which is one of my favorite songs, featuring Martin on vocals, offering just a small taste of what's in store. Heavy Hitters is due to be in the stores on CD and deluxe digipack and on limited edition colored vinyl starting December 18th. You can also pre-order right now, and it's available to pre-order at Amazon.com. Please welcome to the show today, songwriter, actor, former bassist with Dokken, Dio, Steel Dragon, but also in the movie Rockstar, with classic, also today's performing with Foreigner, classic rock legends Foreigner, Mr. Jeff Pilson to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Jeff. Got tongue-tied there.
That was a My resume is exhausting.
That's only part of it.
No, thank you. That was great. Thank you very much. I'm really glad to be here.
That's only part of it, man.
The good part. Leave out the bad stuff.
So what's happening right now with Foreigner? You got the band's raising money for the crew, the families, by selling some really cool limited.
Exactly. Yep. Well, you know what? Our road crew is looking at a year without working. And, you know, these guys, it's not like they just do this part-time. This is their full-on career.
Exactly.
So without them having an opportunity to do anything, for a year now, we felt it was really important to try and come up with some plans to raise some money for them. So we're doing these online auctions. We're also selling items. If you go to foreigneronline.com, you'll see the various areas where you can go, and that will get you to where you need to be to either bid on an auction. For instance, we're selling, Breedlove has donated a guitar. It's a Discovery model acoustic guitar. Beautiful sounding, beautiful playing guitar that we're going to, I'm going to sign to whoever wins the auction. We're going to get it to you. It's an amazing guitar. There's lots of items like that there, provided by some vendors. Plus, we have old vintage Foreigner t-shirts. We have bits of clothing and all this other stuff. Lots of interesting stuff for sale. So come to foreigneronline.com, look for that stuff, and know that if you do bid, you are bidding on a real good cause, because these guys are great people. They're great family people, and due to no fault of theirs, they're unable to work for a year. So you'd be helping out some really good people. And so please consider that. Gifts for the holidays can be found there. Whatever you can muster up would be great. So we also do take donations for them, which some people have been very generous with. So ahead of time, thank you, and please consider doing this.
How many people all together are we talking about?
We're talking about 10 guys.
Okay.
Basically, these are our, when you go on the road, you carry more people than that, but
right.
Those are the people that are part of the organization that are embedded in, that do everything for us. So, it's about 10 guys.
Yeah, I urge everybody to go on this site. I mean, this COVID thing has really hit the music business hard, and we forget about, I mean, the bands, most of the bands, unless they're just starting out, are pretty good, okay shape. I mean, they are missing out on touring and missing all that, being around the crowds and stuff. But it's the people like you mentioned, the crew and the families of the crew. I mean, like you said, that's all they have. That is their main job.
Yeah, exactly. It's their career. And these guys are top of the line at what they do, but it's not like they can, it's not that just Foreigner isn't touring, because there's nowhere else for them to go. Just because Foreigner isn't touring doesn't mean there's anywhere else that they can go to get work. So the whole industry has shut down, and that's a big thing. So helping out is just kind of the least we can do, and so I'm hoping people can help. I know a lot of people are having a real tough time right now. It's not just our crew, but for those of you that can help, if you can, that would be wonderful, and we do appreciate it.
Unfortunately, I don't think there's any relief money for rock bands and their staff and things like that. You can't get an SBA loan.
No, you can't. That's right. And it is. It's a whole industry that's shut down. And frankly, touring is where a bulk of the money is nowadays. There's not near the money in recording that there was years ago because of all the streaming and free stuff. And,
yep.
It's just everything that's happened now in the last few years has made the recording part of the equation much smaller. So bands are affected as well. We can at least do some recording. It's not the same kind of money, but at least we can do something. But the crew, what are they going to do?
Right.
So that's what kind of is the genesis of our thinking here.
It used to be that the concert tickets, I'm showing my age, the standard concert ticket was $650, $550, and $450. You usually saw three big bands, at a big arena.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, they did that cheaply to sell the album, and now it's the opposite.
Right.
It's the total opposite. The money's in the concert.
It's the total opposite now, yeah.
Yeah.
People bring their album along to sell as a loss leader to get you into the show.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Which is all the more reason why this is an important and good cause.
Yeah, the music industry has changed so much. I mean, you have bands selling their albums in the lobby now. I mean, I covered John Mayall for his 80th birthday here in Sarasota, And he was out there hustling his new album, and, you know, he's sure. setting up his own equipment. You know, things have really changed.
And that's a guy who is an absolute legend.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I want to just mention some of the sponsors that have donated. Like you said, Breedlove Guitar. Is it D'Addario Strings? Is that how you
D'Addario Strings.
Okay, Remo.
Audix Microphones.
Remo, Rapco Horizon, Audix Microphones, right? Two Brothers Leatherworks for guitar straps and things like that. So there are a lot of, you know, I guess if you're a guitarist or a musician, they have some things there that you can buy.
Exactly. And then there's plenty of fan kind of stuff for those who aren't musicians. So, yeah, good stuff.
Well, I urge everybody to go to the website. It's a great cause.
Thank you.
I am really excited, Jeff, on Heavy Hitters, man. I'm telling you.
Well, thank you.
You guys did a fantastic job. The production, the engineering is phenomenal. You know, there's not one song I don't like on this album. Every song is great.
Wow, that's great. Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Sure was fun, I gotta say. Really a lot of fun.
How long did it take you to do this? And then the main question...
Well, let's see. It took place over the course of a couple of months.
Really?
In the summer.
Wow, I'm impressed.
It was finished by midsummer.
Wow. You know, I'm really curious, though. How did you pick the songs? Because, see, there's so many songs out there. How did you narrow it down?
Well, we wanted to pick songs that were big hits, for one thing. You know, that's the hit in Heavy Hitters. So all the songs were a big song at one time. And then we wanted to kind of parse up the eras a little bit. So we had, you know, Lucille from the 50s, I Feel the Earth Move from the 70s, Nowhere to Run the 60s, Madonna from more recent, Prince from, I believe it was late 90s, his song. So it's kind of all over the place. You know, the One Republic song, I Apologize, is from the early 2000s. So, I kind of have a bunch of different eras. And that was, and, you know, it was a narrowing down process. It took a while to sort out what songs we wanted to do. But we kind of just, you know, tried to get a feel for it. And if it's something that we thought we could do in a way that felt good, we were going to try it.
Well, you know, I'm glad you didn't do the traditional songs. You know, you didn't go out there and play Zeppelin and Deep Purple. You know what I mean?
There was no desire to do that.
No.
And you know, listen, some people wouldn't get this. Some people would want, you know, us to do a kid song or something. And I get that. But I think doing what we did gives, I mean, it really shows that when you have a great song, you can do a great song in many different ways. And, I think our interpretations, we just tried to keep them honest and try and treat it like, what would we do if we had written this great song? How would we present it? And that's what we did.
I'm glad you did it that way. One of my favorite songs is Ordinary World from Duran Duran. I love that tune, man. And you guys nailed it.
Yeah, I've always loved the song.
Yeah.
And we didn't stray too far from the original.
Right.
We made it a little deeper, a little heavier. But,
right.
And we also, you know, we had this wonderful singer in Will Martin who just, his voice is just so spectacular, and that he really gets to shine on that song. Stuff like that really made it worthwhile for me.
Yeah, that's a tough song to sing, really, if you want to get close to, you know, singing it like the original version. And he nailed it, man.
Well, and the thing is, we knew it would be very natural for Will. That's the kind of thing he does really naturally
right.
well. So, that was the other fun thing, is letting him be himself and be natural on these songs really made it interesting.
I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the tracks. What a version of One of Us. Oh, my God. That is incredible, man, from Joan Osborne.
Well, thank you. And, yeah, and again, with Will's voice, I mean, how can you go wrong on that? He just sang that so spectacularly. A lot of fun on that. Really, really nice. But I'm very proud of that song as well. I'm glad you dig it.
You kept the funkiness in You Got the Love, the Rufus Chaka Khan song. Which I like. The guitar work was really awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm that's probably my, if I had to pick a favorite on the record, that would probably be it. Mark Dream from the Bullet Boys sings on it, and he just sings the crap out of it. It was amazing. George and I both have always loved that song, always wanted to do it, so this was the opportunity. And I think we just came up with a really powerful, funky, but rockin' version of the
right.
song, and I'm so happy with it. I wish we'd written it.
Hey, it's never too late to, you know, go that way if you want to, you know. But I always had a, sure. I always had kind of a crush on Chaka Khan when she was younger, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And what? And a completely different version of Carole King's song, "I Feel the Earth."
Yeah, yeah. That was actually Brian, the drummer, is who suggested that song, and it was really, really, really fun. I mean, you know, we took that one pretty far away from the original, but had a lot of fun with it. Kind of put a little 70s jam there in the middle of it, and it made it. It just made it fun. You know, we just wanted to make it fun. Take these good songs and have fun with them.
You know, the intro reminded me a little bit of Hocus Pocus by Focus. You know, the kind of.
Wow. I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. Interesting.
I heard that right away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Carole King's rolling over in New York. That's great. So rolling over in her apartment in New York.
On the piano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine she has a pretty nice place in New York.
Oh, I think so. I think so.
Plenty of room to roll over in there.
And of course, you did a version of "Music" by Madonna, which was another credible song you did. That was cool.
I'm very happy with that. It almost sounds like it was written for that, which I really like.
And then Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, she did that classic '60s hit "Nowhere to Run," which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, I'm going to say this: this is my favorite version of "Kiss" by Prince. You know, Tom Jones did it. Tom Jones did a great job of that song, but I think you guys, you beat Prince and Tom Jones on that tune.
Wow. Well, thank you. That's big, high praise indeed.
Like that version a lot. And, a song that was definitely made for you, for the band, was "It's the End of the World as We Know It." I mean, that fit you guys perfectly, huh?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. That's my version of almost rapping, I guess.
You're good. You're very good at it, by the way. I don't know how you did that.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. It was fun.
Well, 5 stars, man. I love it. It's a great, you know, it's one of those albums, you know, you want to hear in your car. You just want to drive and, you know, end up nowhere, you know. It's such a great, great album. And who was
thank you, man. That means a lot. It really does.
Who was the producer and the engineer of that?
I'm sorry?
Who produced the album?
George and I.
Oh,
George
really?
And I jointly produced that.
You guys did a great job, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. Like I said, recorded almost all remotely, which is kind of cool.
Oh, really? It was all remotely,
huh? 2020.
Wow. That's crazy. That's really crazy.
Well, it's what you got to do right now. And, you know, that was, we started that in the spring when stuff was starting to get really bad. So, yeah, that is a pandemic record if there ever was one.
Pandemic. The pandemic release.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you guys hopefully will get back to touring soon, but I did want to mention March 27th and 28th, you're supposed to be here in Florida in Clearwater, which is the Ruth Eckert Hall, which is only, you know, half an hour from where I live, and you're supposed to be doing the an unplugged deal.
Right. Well, I'm hearing that may be electric now, so we'll see.
Oh, really?
We're thinking it might be. So, you know, stay tuned on that one.
Okay.
The plan is still to come. You know, there's no cancellation of that yet, and we know that they're a very safe venue. They do.
Yep.
You know, they do the social distancing and everything else. So, hopefully, it'll happen. We're hoping.
Yeah, well, they're putting on shows as we speak. Yeah, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't see any reason why it wouldn't, unless things. I don't think things are going to necessarily. I mean, things might get a little worse, but I would think they'll be getting better by March. And you know, I would think, and knowing that the venue takes all the safety precautions, I don't see why it wouldn't happen.
Well, we got the vaccine now. We started on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
one step down.
Exactly. So we're all going to be so happy when this thing is gone, yeah. Man.
Oh, boy, no kidding. The whole world will be.
Oh, God. It's been one rough 2020, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So what else is new with Foreigner? You know, I had Rick Wills on recently. He lives really close to me here. He's in Sarasota.
Yeah, he's a Florida boy.
Yeah.
Well, just what you said. We're just getting ready for a year of touring. Don't know. I mean, supposedly we kick off the year with the shows at Ruth Eckert.
So right.
Hopefully that's all still going on. We are kicking around some new material. Not sure when it'll be done, but at some point we're hoping to have some new stuff on something. And in the meantime, I'm keeping busy with all the other projects. I'm doing another End Machine record. That too is with George Lynch and Robin Mason, the singer for the Lord. And we're doing that record. That's going to come out in April.
Awesome.
There'll be some singles coming out in February, so you'll hear about that soon. And that's another record I'm just very, very, very proud of.
Yeah, you work with so many people. You know, like you said, End Machine. What about Black Swan?
I'm going to start writing for that in January with Red Beach.
So, wow.
Yeah, we're moving forward.
You are moving forward. That's it. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you talked to Vinny? It's been a while since you talked to Vinny.
We have. We talked a couple weeks ago.
Really?
We're good friends, so.
He's a good guy.
He doesn't live as close as he used to, but we still talk a lot.
He's a good guy. I had Vinny and I had Carmine on the show, and I think it was just Carmine's birthday. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was. I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah, I love
Vinny, and I love Carmine too, for that matter. I mean, they're both great guys. Vinny, I'm pretty close with Vinny. Have been for a long time.
Right.
I consider him up there in my friends.
Great drummer.
He's a wonderful person. He really is.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. You know, I find out a lot of the guys in bands they're not in the bands anymore and they're kind of separated. They haven't talked to each other for a long time. And sometimes I get them together because they always want to know, well, how's that, because I've interviewed them and he says, yeah, how's that guy doing? He said, I'll hook you up if you want.
Sure.
Yeah. I've had Lou's in my new book, Ian McDonald.
Cool.
Yeah. And hope those guys are doing well as well. You did that big reunion not that long ago, right? With all the
correct the then and now shows. Yeah.
Yeah.
The original lineup and us and what a fabulous and successful run of shows that was. And I hope we do more of that at some point. That was really fun.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I think it's kind of started in Sarasota, right? Rick kind of
could have because. Rick had since moved down there, but, Rick kind of started getting involved with this stuff before I think he even moved to Florida.
Right.
But, Dennis, the original drummer, lives near Sarasota, so, or actually I guess he's closer to Fort Myers, but, that's been some fun stuff. Again, nothing moved at this point, but I do hope some more stuff happens with that because it's just so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Rick has done so much, man. I mean, he worked with David Gilmour on that. One of my favorite albums was David Gilmour's first album, and he was on that. And,
Rick's a great player.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Rick's, and I always will be.
Well, he's loving life down here in Florida, I can tell you that. He belongs to he belongs to a boat club now, and he's, he thinks he's a captain now. He's got pictures. He's got pictures on Facebook of him, just riding around in his boat. He's having a fun time. I wanted to mention you started your early band was called Christmas, right? It was a trio, but it was a prog band, and you did
a lot
of ELP stuff. That's pretty, ahead of its time for a first band. How old were you when you started that band?
I think I was 19 when Christmas started, which was in 1977, so yep. I got older. We were big prog heads, and it was a very progressive band. We actually did our own music. When we started off, we did learn all of Side One of Tarkus by ELP, which was a great learning experience and fun. Then moved on to doing our own stuff, and it was a very, very, very fun band. Learned a lot out of it. Played with some great people, great playing. Unfortunately, it kind of came as prog music was dying, the whole keyboard backlash thing was kind of happening towards the end of the 70s. So we never really got to pursue that too far. But it was a great experience and a lot of fun.
There isn't any, music from that on YouTube or anything, huh? I'd love to hear that.
Not YouTube. There is a CD that our drummer put out recently for sale.
Wow.
I forget how to get that. But his name is Charles Tapp, T-A-P-P. So, you know, you could probably do a search to find him, and if you're really interested in hearing that music, I bet there's, if you found him online, you'd find a way to get that music.
Well, I'm a huge prog fan, you know, and...
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, I love it. I gotta talk about, well, first, I wanted to talk about, Dokken. Because you guys had so many different reunions over the years, off and on. Great band, of course. So what's going on with Dokken? Anything?
Well, basically, you know, Dokken still exists as Don's band. You know, he still has a version of that. We did reunite in 2016 and went to Japan, and which was a wonderful and successful tour. We put out a record, a live record from that, but we also did a new song, which, you know, kind of whet our appetites and made us realize that we still have a strong writing chemistry together.
You do.
And, you know, all the animosity from the past has basically faded away. So
right, good.
I'm holding out hope that at some time we'll be able to do that last final great record together.
Yep.
But we'll see. I mean, we're all busy. You know, seems like if any time you do it during the pandemic. But Don has been working on his own version of the Dokken record, and we've been working on these other records. So we'll see, but I'm hoping someday we do that last final record together. I think that'd be wonderful.
I think it'd be great, and you know, follow up with a tour. You know, I mean, you can't go wrong. You got, and of course, I said Dokken instead of Dokken. Everybody's going to kill me for that. But
yeah, rocking with Dokken.
Rocking with Dokken.
Token with Dokken.
But, you know, to be in two bands like that, Dokken and Foreigner, I mean, it's, and plus all your, you know, the End Machine and everything else you got going on, that's incredible, man. I don't know how you,
well, I don't know how you do it.
That's great. I did want to ask you, it had to be a lot of fun to do Rockstar, huh?
It was indeed.
What can you say about it? How long did it take you to be, you know, do your thing?
We did the music first, and that's actually how I got involved, because I came in, and originally I was asked by the guy that was producing the music. The guy that produced the music was Tom Worman, who had done a Dokken record. He had done the Dokken Tooth and Nail record in 84. So Tom called me. This would have been late 99 that he would have called me. He said, hey, do you want to play bass, you know, be the session bass player on this stuff? And I said, absolutely, sure. So in early January of 2000, we went in and started rehearsing the material. And after a couple of days, the director, who would come down to the rehearsal, came up to me and said, you know what? He goes, for this movie, I really wanted it to feel like a real band. And you guys feel like a real band, you know, when I'm watching you guys rehearse. He goes, so how would you feel about being in the movie? And I said, let me think about it. Yeah. And it was a great opportunity. Got to be in the movie. So, like I say, we started doing the music in early January of 2000, and we were done filming in June of 2000. So it was a 6-month process all told.
Did you get to hang out with Wahlberg and?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He, you know, Mark wanted to try and, you know, he's a method actor, so he wanted to really involve himself in the world. So yeah, we would hang out, and you know, he wanted to know what they're like being in the rock world. So yeah, we hung out. It was great, actually. It was a lot of fun and a lot of laughs.
Oh, I could imagine. It was a great movie. You know, you did a great part in the movie. You know, that movie really kicked off a lot in the rock world, because look what happened. I mean, yes, they replaced John Anderson with a tribute guy, you know. And a lot of bands did that after that movie came out. they said, hey, this is
well,
a good idea.
Probably coincidence more than anything, but still, maybe gave it just a little bit of legitimacy, we'll see. But either way, all cool.
Yeah, I mean, it really happened in real life, you know, it really did. Jeff, here's a question I ask everybody, and I get some very interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, you know, like the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Oh, I suppose John Lennon, maybe. If they can be deceased.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to just play on a session with John Lennon. Mm-hmm. Just have him come in with a song and show it to us and put it together and play on it and just be around his vibe. That would be very, very interesting to me.
Good answer. Yeah, very good answer. Well, you can still play with Paul, maybe.
Yeah, that would not be a bad thing either.
Yeah, you're
I mean, I would love to play with Ringo too, for that matter. Yeah. I'd love to play bass with mm-hmm. Ringo. That would be a high. That would be very cool.
Well, maybe he can pick you for his all-star, you know, I mean...
It's not impossible. I mean, you know, he's picked other friends of mine. I mean, Jack Blades, the great Bissonette, mm-hmm. Steve Lukather, you know, all those guys are part of his thing. So, yeah, I would love that.
Exactly. So, here's your final question. What are you most proud of? Because you've worked with so many people, so many bands. What are you most proud of?
Well, I'm most proud of my daughter, of course.
Okay.
She's amazing. but if you're talking about musical proud... that's a tough one. That's a real, real tough one. I mean, you know, you always feel like your most recent record is your best, you know, in a lot of ways. But I don't have a singular, this is the thing I'm most proud of. I really don't. There's so many layers to that. I mean, I gotta say, I have a very soft spot in my heart for Dokken because that was what really gave me the opportunity for everything else.
Right.
So I guess if I had to nail it down, I'd say I'm most proud of that and feel like that accomplished the most. But at the same time, you know, for 16 years, I've been rocking with Foreigner.
Yeah.
We've been playing over 100 shows a year for this time and took this year. But, you know, I feel like we've touched a lot of hearts, and that's a big thing, too. So there is no singular answer. I mean, there's just so much different music I've done that it would be really hard to narrow in and say this is the most proud. But if I had to, I would say the accomplishments that Dokken made set the stage for everything else I've been able to do. So I guess that would be it.
What? So I know you're probably back in the studio. You're rehearsing. You're doing a lot of stuff musically. What do you do that's not non-musical in your life? I mean, what kind of, do you have any hobbies or anything?
Well, I mean, I'm very into yoga, so I've actually been teaching an online meditation class.
Oh, really? Cool.
On Mondays, if you go to hotforyoga,
right,
FCB.com,
okay,
you can find out how to take my virtual meditation class. There's also there's hot Pilates classes online. There's also Bikram yoga classes online. It's a really interesting thing. So I've been doing that, and just hanging with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time with them and doing Pilates twice a week to try and stay in shape during all this stuff. It kicks your butt, by the way, but it's all great.
Yeah, it's hard to stay in shape, isn't it? I'm guilty of that, man, because I'm a writer and that's all I do is
sit
behind the computer.
Yeah, you gotta keep physical somehow. You just have to.
Well, if this is good in any way, I mean, I know a lot of times we haven't seen our families, you know, in the beginning and this and that, whatever, but your immediate family and your household, it's a great thing, isn't it? Because you spend more time.
It is. I mean, I've tried to look on the bright side as being just exactly that. I'm getting to be home for a year with my family,
exactly.
Which I haven't been able to do
really
since my daughter was born. So I'm really trying to enjoy that.
That's a blessing. How old is your daughter?
16.
Oh, she's 16. Oh, man.
Yeah. She was there at my first Foreigner show. She was 6 weeks old.
Oh, my goodness. Is she driving yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. I remember those days.
There you go.
Man, I've got 5 grandkids already.
Wow. Congratulations.
5 grandkids already. One of them are... they're going to be trouble in the future because they're identical twin girls. Imagine that in high
school. Oh, boy. Good luck there.
I know. Jeff, you got anything else? Anything else to promote?
No, I mean, just, look for the M Machine record when it comes out. Get the Heavy Hitter CD. And please, please auction a bit on the auctions at the ForeignerOnline.com site because it is a real good cause.
I've got many, many music sites, on around the internet. We're gonna plug the hell out of it for you. So.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and I know our crew appreciates it.
Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show today, man.
My pleasure, man. It was great to be able to do this.
Good luck with Heavy Hitters. It's a fantastic album. I love it to death. 5 stars all the way. We're looking forward to your show, hopefully, March 27th and 28th, 2021, in Clearwater at Ruth Deckard Hall.
I'm open to it, too. And I will see you then. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Take care, Jeff. All right.
Stay healthy.
You too, man. Bye-bye. The new album from guitar-shredding virtuoso George Lynch and former Doc and bandmate Jeff Pilson, for a set of new studio recordings that turn pop music classics into powerful metal anthems, available on both CD in a deluxe digipack and on limited edition colored vinyl starting December 18th, which is right around the corner. You can pre-order now at Amazon.com. It's courtesy of Deadline Music, a subsidiary of the great Cleopatra Records Incorporated. And you can also go on YouTube now and check out Ordinary World, which is on YouTube, or you can stream the single as well. The album, of course, will be on Amazon.com. The band Foreigner is raising money for the crew and their families by selling some cool limited edition vintage and current Foreigner merchandise items, along with various items donated by some of the band's sponsors and vendors. Via the Foreigner website, they are also accepting donations on the site. You can use the link www.foreigner.com to find out more about the fundraiser, in addition to being able to access Foreigner audio and visual materials, including approved high-resolution photos, bio, video, logos, and Foreigner live tracks. Again, that's www.foreigneronline.com. Foreigner is also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/foreigner. Foreigner on Instagram, www.instagram.com/foreignerlive. For more information about Jeff Pilson, you can also visit his Jeff Pilson blog at www.jeffpilson.wordpress.com. Jeff's on Facebook, www.facebook.com/officialjefftilson. And also visit George Lynch's official site at www.georgelynch.com. Very special thanks to John Lappin of Lappin Enterprises for arranging this interview with Jeff Pilson and the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsom of VBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, you can contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. And please, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. And, ladies and gentlemen, it's real news. And, of course, my new book is finally out, and it's entitled The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1. It chronicles truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us all free. You can order yours today on hardcover or ebook at bookbaby.com and amazon.com. It features over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. I am hoping to have a series of 4 of those. And please go out and buy that. It's the hardcover is a great collector's item. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on VBS Radio, Station 1.